Now, I don't know how many of you have been watching these little Advent videos. Of course, we've seen one further this morning. And it's been pretty good fun producing these. I hope they're bringing some of you a little bit of joy at the end of a particularly challenging year. Maybe through them you've seen something new about the Christmas story. Hopefully you knew this already, but you may have discovered that there were no robins and there were no Christmas trees. Also, that it's pretty unlikely that there was any snow, and there may not even have been a donkey. There were shepherds, though. We've just read about the shepherds, but here's a question. Why were they living with the sheep? Right through the night as well. I mean, from my experience, and it's pretty limited, when I was a student, I was pretty desperate for a bit of cash. I used to help my older brother, who was a shepherd, and it was horrible. Got up at 4 in the morning, freezing cold weather, putting your hands in places, well, never mind, they're not supposed to go there, but I never spent the night with the sheep, I can assure you. And I've never had to live with the sheep. So shepherding seems to have changed a little bit in the last 2,000 years. Because they literally did live with the sheep, you can imagine what kind of people they were. Smelly, to start with, I reckon. Rough kind of people, perhaps isolated from the rest of community. Now, I'm sure none of you are rough or smelly. But I do know that some feel isolated, some feel detached. Especially, of course, in this world that we're in now of social distancing, life can be very lonely. Others may feel that society has overlooked you, that you've got maybe nothing to offer, that nobody's interested in you. Maybe you feel that God doesn't even care. Now, if that is you, the good news is that you're exactly the kind of person who God chooses to speak to. Now, so often we assume, don't we, that he's only interested in religious people. We might think that God only really looks out for people who've got their lives sorted out. Well, the truth is that God loves you. Let me say that again, because it can sound a bit cliched. It's a phrase that perhaps religious people, Christians, use a lot, but it is true. God loves you. Now, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean he likes everything that you do. We heard, didn't we, earlier from Annetta, that our sin kind of drives a wedge between us and God that we simply cannot remove. But he still loves us. Amazingly, he still loves us. And he still, doesn't he, showers down so many good things upon us every day. And he still speaks to us. But are we listening? There are three very simple things I wanted to say this morning from this passage, and all of them follow the example of these humble, isolated shepherds from the Christmas story. And the first is this: listen to God. But if you're not sure whether God even exists, by the way, why not just give him the benefit of the doubt just for these next few minutes? Yes, I know that this concept of angels, it seems pretty weird, and I'm presuming none of us have ever seen one. But if there is a God, if there is a God who has created and who controls everything, surely sending a few agents on a kind of midnight cruise has got to be well within his capacity, hasn't it? Now, I doubt any of these shepherds had ever seen an angel before themselves. They probably wouldn't have been quite so scared if they had. And I'm guessing that they probably weren't the type that sat down and read their Bibles every day. Now, that's the thing about God. He doesn't wait until we're ready. Not like a school teacher, perhaps, who will only start their class once all the children are quiet. God gets involved when he wants to. And for the shepherds, this was clearly their night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. There you go, you can check that they've got the letter O in each of those three words. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, in a way, we should be terrified when God turns up. Yes, he does care about us, but like perhaps Aslan in the Narnia stories, he can destroy us in a moment if we get on the wrong side of him. But on this occasion, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring cause great joy for all the people." And that message of good news for all the people is a message of good news for you and for me this morning. Surely we need some good news, don't we? I mean, after everything else this year, this is the best news. Now, I'm not going to repeat everything that Annetta said earlier, but this peace that God offers is something that every one of us needs. Living estranged from anyone is never good, but living without God is only going to end badly. We all need peace with God. And what an offer to refuse. Can you imagine a better offer? Now, I hesitate to mention Brexit, but how about this for a Christmas jumper? I quite like this one. Now, today, of course, is apparently a big day. It does feel like we've had a few big days like this in the past. But unfortunately, it does seem pretty clear that the offers currently on the table are a long way from being acceptable to either side. But just imagine, I very much doubt this is going to happen, but imagine that suddenly one side gives in and says you can have everything that you're asking for. Now, I'm pretty sure if that happened, a deal would be wrapped up pretty quickly. It wouldn't take a moment because that is what negotiation is like. It doesn't generally happen like that. That's negotiation. But with God, there is no need for negotiation. He holds nothing back from us. There are no conditions to his offer. He knows that we don't deserve it, but he offers everything that we need. And in a word, what he's offering there is peace. Peace with our Maker, peace with ourselves, peace with each other. So will there be a deal today? And I don't mean Brexit. I mean between you and God. Because you'll never get a better offer than this one. God is speaking to every one of us here this morning in this building, watching on YouTube, because this that we've just read from, this is his living word. It's his voice to us today. Now, it's not the only way that he speaks. He sometimes uses angels, it seems, but it is the main way that God speaks. So God is speaking to each one of us, but are we listening? And I'm talking to Christians here as much as to anybody else. Do we make time regularly to listen to God? Now imagine that your boss asks to speak to you, or your closest friend sends you a text, or maybe you even get a call from Buckingham Palace. Now surely you're not going to say, "Sorry, I'm just a bit busy right now." You're not going to say that, are you? Well, this is God speaking. So let us be those who listen and who act upon what we hear, because the shepherds acted upon what they heard. They went to find the baby. And that's the second simple message to each one of us this morning. Find Jesus. Find Jesus, because that is exactly what the shepherds did. They were given some pretty specific instructions, mind. It said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And what could be simpler than following a few basic instructions? But of course, for humans, following basic instructions is almost the last thing that we tend to want to do. Now, for one of our children, my wife and I agreed at one point of utter exasperation that the best thing to do would be to ask her to do what we didn't want her to do. I'm not going to tell you which one it was. It may have been more than one. And I'm not necessarily advising this as parental advice. But for a while, it worked. She did exactly what we wanted her to do. For a while, till she worked out that was the plan all along. Now, naturally, we all hate doing what we're told. Men may be worse than women, probably true, but it is true of all of us. And if we actually want this peace that God is offering us, what do we have to do to get that? Do we have to do something amazing like climb a mountain or swim the channel? Or maybe something a bit more kind of holy, like go a week without swearing or raise £1 million for charity or something? Now, if we knew that any one of those things would get us to heaven, I reckon that we would give it a shot, wouldn't we? Even if someone asked me and said this was the only way that you can ever get to heaven, that you can ever have peace with God, you've got to climb Everest. Somehow, I think I'm going to give it a go. I'm not sure what my chances are, but I'd give it a go. Well, what God asks us to do is really simple. He just says, find Jesus. Make Jesus your king. Make him your savior. Well, that's what the shepherds did. As we've already read, when the shepherds had left them and gone into heaven, when the angels had left them, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they didn't hang around, didn't think about it too hard, no procrastinating. They did it immediately. Verse 16 says, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Now, what did it take for them to find Jesus? Well, in a word, if you want to use a spiritual word, it's faith. That they listened to what the angels said, they believed it was true, or at least they thought there was a possibility that it was true, and they acted upon it. And that is basically what faith is. It's not a kind of airy-fairy, super spiritual kind of thing. It's what we kind of do all the time. I mean, when you go to Morrison's and maybe you like baked beans, you pick up a can off the shelf. You don't open it, do you, to check there are beans inside before you put it in your basket. You have faith that the label tells you what's inside. And when you dial a number, for example, on your phone, you trust that it's going to ring at the other end, even if you don't really understand how it works. You trust it. Sometimes people say, I wish I had your faith. Well, they can. Take God at his word. Come to Jesus. He's not hiding, but he does want you to come to him. Following God's instructions, doing it the way that he said you should do it, not the way that you kind of think I ought to be able to get to God through. Jesus said, didn't he, those who seek me will find me. And that is a promise. And he will welcome you with open arms when you come. Listen to God, find Jesus. And finally, once you've found him, spread the word. Because that's what the shepherds did. Verse 17 says, when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now, today's apparently tolerant society hates evangelism. It seems we tolerate everything and everyone except those that have got a different opinion to ourselves. Our culture says, well, you can have your faith if you want it, but make it a private thing. Don't do it outside. and never bother anybody else with it. Now imagine, just imagine for a moment if the shepherds had done that. You know, wow, we've discovered the Savior. We found the one who can bring peace, the only one who can bring peace. We know the answer to the world's biggest problems. But let's not tell anyone. Let's just keep it to ourselves. We don't want to offend anyone, do we? I mean, that would be ridiculous. And it would be completely lacking in love. How can you keep such good news to yourselves? Now, of course, therefore, Christians should wear a cross if they want to. Of course, we should be open about our faith. If we love Jesus, we'll want to do what he wants 24 hours a day. And that means, of course, we'll want to share it with others. We want to tell others about the Savior that we've found. Now, in this country, we're not far off the point where telling somebody what the Bible says will get us arrested. But we mustn't let that stop us. We mustn't be afraid of opposition. We're on God's side. And he's put into our hands, as it were, the biggest box of chocolates that you can possibly imagine. I'm assuming you're into chocolates. Is that reasonable? What are we going to do with that box of chocolates? Are we going to hide it? Are we going to keep it to ourselves? Are we going to keep the lid firmly closed? Or will we share them? There is only one loving response that I can think of. And Christmas is just such an amazing opportunity to do that. It's a time when people seem to be perhaps a little bit more open about joining a church service, perhaps even an online one. And by the way, next week, we're looking forward to a baptism here. We're hoping to open these panels and fill it with water, and we're going to have a baptism next Sunday morning. Join us online. Tell others about it. And in the evening next Sunday, we're doing a special carol service, which we're putting out online as well. Why not invite somebody to one of those? You can just click on our website and join us. And of course, we have the opportunity to invite friends to join our Christianity Explored course, the next one of which starts in January. So do what the shepherds did. It's pretty simple. Spread the word. Now, as we formally say goodbye to Annetta today, I want to commend her as someone who has followed the example of the shepherds. I think she was in her 20s by the time she first heard God's voice, and she listened. And she searched for Jesus, and she found him. Like so many of us here, she found her peace, her security, her hope in Jesus. And it transformed her priorities, it transformed her relationships, it transformed her life. And I'm sure her family will vouch for that. Now, in the time that she's been here with us at CBC, she certainly hasn't hesitated to spread the word. I'm sure that none of our young people are in any doubt that the Lord Jesus is her greatest love. Now, the message is the same to everyone who's found forgiveness in Jesus. Spread the word. Now, it doesn't mean you have to leave your job, as it seemed to have done for Annetta. It might mean that. But for most of us, it just means carrying on, living your life where you are. Only living your life for Jesus now. Now, this was true for the shepherds. Verse 20 said, the shepherds returned. I think it did. Oh, let's go back. They just returned to start with. They went back to their sheep. That's what they did. Nothing had changed for them. And yet, everything had changed for them. Now they were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They checked out the evidence. They found it was true. They praised the God who loved them enough to speak to them, just as he has to us this morning. And they wanted him, therefore, to get all the glory and all the praise. And that's true of everyone who's prepared to listen to God, to find Jesus, and to spread the word. Let's take a moment to pray together. Let's pray. Living Lord Jesus, you are the one who was God from before the beginning of time. You're the one who gave up your glory and humbled yourself to visit our world. You suffered the loneliness, the isolation, the injustices that perhaps sometimes we feel we suffer. You took upon yourself the punishment that we deserve for the way that we've treated you. You died the worst possible death. But gloriously, you came back to life. You ascended into heaven where you rule now with love and with justice. And you sent your Spirit to bring us back, to guide us back to God. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, forgive us when we fail you. Help us to listen to your words. Help us to find our forgiveness and our salvation in Jesus. Help us to live our lives obedient to your word, holy, and passionate to spread that word of hope wherever we go, wherever you place us, because it's the message that everybody needs to hear. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning. We thank you for Jesus. We ask that you'd help us in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus himself. Amen.